book of Jude. Verse 17, the book of Jude says, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there should be mockers in the last time." Now this is, again, last time. We saw this word the other day, last time. In the final days, the ending days, as things begin to narrow down to the return of Christ, which will lead to the tribulation, and the major battles that are prophesied in the book of Revelation, and then to the final judgment, that we will continue to see a work of Antichrist. And he said, you know, we looked the other day, there are many Antichrists already. And there would be some who would tell us that, you know, we need to have thicker skin. Oh, that's not what they're talking. But I don't know if you saw in the news where another school said the coach can't pray with the kids on the football field. And so without the coach, the team prayed, and they invited the other team to pray, and the students came out of the stands to pray, and it was bigger prayer than they'd ever had. And that's what has to happen, is when they tell us we can't, we have to. And I know that people say, well, that's rebellion. We need to follow the law. Well, just remember, it was the law that crucified Jesus. Just remember, it was the law that enabled slavery. And it was the law, it was the rise of Hitler that enabled the Holocaust of all the Jews. So law has to be taken in context. Now, I'm a law-abiding citizen. I believe in law. I support law enforcement. I support the justice system, even though it's not perfect. But I also know that there will be increasing times as we come nearer to the return of the Lord that we're going to have to stand against the law. And so, while I'm not calling for a revolution, open rebellion, I'm telling you that right now we're being tested. And this test is going to continue. And it came out of here. This is not an invention of Derek's imagination. It's going to continue. Remember the apostles that were martyred. Why were they killed? How were they killed? They were killed mostly within the law. Stephen, executed by the law. Paul, carrying letters to arrest Christians and tear up churches according to the law. So, again, I'm law-abiding. I believe in law. I love the United States of America. I love the Constitution. I wish we'd live by it. I wish we'd follow it. But there will come times. We're going to choose now which side we're going to be on. And by the way, people have chosen already, haven't they? Some have chosen which side they're going to be on. And so I just want to make sure that I'm on God's side. That's all. But he told us there will be mockers, and it's going to continue. They're going to continue to push the idea of aliens. They're going to continue to push the idea of and the entertainment to wear down our resistance to the idea of zombies. Why? Because when the Lord comes back, graves are going to open. They're going to say, "Walking Dead, Walking Dead." The Christians are going to be raptured, and they're going to say, "Alien invasion, alien abduction." I mean, it's all being prepped. You see it in the news, and it continues in the news. All these ideas. And so there's going to continue to be mockers in the last days. And they walk after their own ungodly lust. Look, here is a bulletin. This is how we can see who the mockers are. Why do people not want God? Why do people not want church? Tell me what it is about the Bible and about Jesus and about the church that's so offensive. I can tell you what it is. There are rules of what we can and can't do. There are rules about morals and behavior. And because we take a stand, the Bible clearly expresses what the rules are. People don't want the Bible and they don't want the church and they don't want Christians because we represent a standard that they don't want to follow. And that's what Jude says, isn't it? Why are they mocking? Why are they resisting? Because they want to walk after their own ungodly lust. Those desires didn't come from God. These desires, you weren't born that way. That desire was not inherent. There was not something God gave you. And so the idea of, I was born this way and it's nobody's business, that's wrong. It's ungodly. But they dismissed God to justify their own will. Verse 19. These be they who separate themselves. They separate themselves. They don't want accountability. They don't want to have anybody knowing their business. And so they separate themselves. And we see that ongoing. When people withdraw a lot of times from family, from church, when they start to withdraw, why? Why do they pull away? Because they're doing something they don't want other people to know about. That's why. And so they withdraw themselves. They separate themselves. They're sensual. Whatever feels, that's sensual. You understand it, senses. It's what feels good. Just what excites them for a moment. But here's this, and having not the Spirit. They don't have God in them. They're not saved. Those are the ones. Those are the ones. Remember what we read last week. They were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they left that they could expose themselves, reveal themselves. They were never part of us. So that's the adversity that we face. It's going to get worse. They're trying to get the police chief fired in Tallahassee. And I'm just not dove into it that much. But to know, well, because he went to a Christian retreat at the Billy Graham Crusade property or retreat property and participated in something. He was wearing a TPD shirt. And officially, I guess, as a representative of government, he can't say he believes in Jesus. So we think about these things that are all over the world. They're not all over the world. They're here. And they're going to keep getting closer, and they're going to keep creeping in. By the way, it doesn't matter if you like the police chief or not. That's irrelevant. The fire chief they had fired up in Atlanta because he wrote a book about his faith. And they stood against him. People write books all the time, but he loves Jesus, right? Can't have that. And the group that's trying to get them all cast out is the homosexuals. And the reason they're trying to do that is because of what we just read. By the way, you do understand that he employs them, he promotes them, and he doesn't draw a line of distinction of a good officer or bad officer based on their sexual behavior. As long as it's legal, a good cop's a good cop. So he's able to do the city's business even though he has personal moral beliefs that goes against those people's immoral beliefs. Their job is what gives them their promotions. But that's what we're up against. They don't want Christians in society. And they're going to get their wish because we're going to leave. And then let's see what happens. I've already read what's going to happen. Verse 20, so that's the adversity. But then we look at the discipline that we must have. He says, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So we need to build up ourselves. In 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6, David was facing adversity. They wanted to kill him. They wanted him stoned to death. But the Bible says, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. That's what we have to do. The adversity is going to keep coming. There will be attacks. Sometimes it'll be personal against us, you, me, individually. Sometimes it'll be about the church at large or about Christianity at large. But we have to be able to build up ourselves and overcome the opinions and the propaganda of those who reject God. And we're going to continue to hurt some feelings. But we got to be careful not to let our feelings get hurt to the point we say, well, I'll just quit being a Christian. We can't quit. Building up yourselves. Hope, our will, our determination, our grit. That's what we need, isn't it? Grit. In the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. That's when prayer becomes dialogue, not just monologue. That's when we begin to hear from God. We talked about it this morning. That's when we begin to listen for the voice of God and to sense the spiritual direction of God instead of just telling Him what's on our mind. We listen. Praying in the Holy Ghost. And, you know, the Bible talks about those prayers that we cannot even utter because we don't even know everything that we need. Just spending some time in communion with God and fellowship with God, meditation, if you will, as the Holy Spirit gives those groanings of intercession for those things we know not that we need. Just being quiet with God and letting the Holy Spirit communicate those needs, because we don't know what they are. How many of you know what you need? You know some things you need, but you don't know everything you need. We don't know what happens tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow holds for us. Verse 21, keeping yourselves in the love of God. Self-discipline, self-control, keeping ourselves in the love of God. We've got to remind ourselves. That's why we need to read our Bibles. That's why we need to pray. That's why we need to go to church, so that we can be encouraged in those things and keep ourselves on track. How many of you ever get an oil change in your car? How many of you ever let it go past the mileage that you're supposed to? Same thing happens when we don't go to church. We don't read our Bible. We don't pray. Same thing happens. We're taking a risk, aren't we? You say, well, I don't need to change my oil. I can get 10,000 miles out of an oil change. Well, I hope it works out for you. New cars, that may be the case. I tell you what happens. If you don't get it checked and something goes wrong and you lose your engine, guess what? That $50 oil change is looking pretty good, isn't it? That 20 minutes it would have taken is feeling pretty good right now. But it's too late. We've got to keep ourselves in the love of God. We've got to stay in God's will. We need to communicate. You ever notice when your spouse or your best friend, you ever notice when something's a little off with them? You ever notice when they're not in a good mood? My wife will say, are you okay? She already knows. She may not know exactly what it is, but she already knows if it's okay, because she can tell something's different. In that same way with God, we need to be communicating with Him so that if everything's not okay, if we overlook something, if we got into sin and didn't even recognize it as sin, and we're spending time with God and we start praying and our prayer's not getting answered, we say, Lord, is everything okay? And He can say, no, it's not okay. And He can bring to our mind what we said or what we did or how we treated someone. We can say, oh, I need to go make that right. I need to go fix that. You see, if we don't have that prayer time with God, we may miss it. It may be days or even weeks, because we begin to get farther and farther away, separating ourselves. Isn't that what He said up here? They separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus. You notice what He says? He doesn't say looking for the judgment. Looking for the mercy. Looking for that renewal, looking for that love that comes from heaven. Looking for the mercy. Seeking God of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So we talk about the adversity. We talk about what we need to do for ourselves. Let me tell you something. Church is great. I love church. But you've got to have personal time with God. I've got to have personal time with God. If there's no personal time, the church will become less and less satisfying. It may become more and more contrary if we don't have personal time with God. But then He says, how do we deal with other people? Verse 22. And y'all know I love this verse. Of some, have compassion, making a difference. You know that people are going to get saved because of love. Because of love. We're talking about the racial tension. And you know how it was overcome? With love. It wasn't overcome by, well, let me express to you all the history of... That wasn't how it worked. Love. Love. And that's what Brother Ronnie was expressing. What he saw was love. Where people didn't... It didn't matter what color your skin was. Love. Some are going to get saved because of love. They're drawn to God because of love. They're drawn to God because you read John 3:16. It said, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Love. Some, the compassion is going to make a difference. But do you understand? The next verse tells us that love is not going to be enough for some people. Love is not enough to get everybody in God's house. Love is not enough to get everybody saved. Some people are only going to get saved when they're in their final moments, looking at an eternity without God, looking at an eternity in hell and the eternal flames that they've heard about from the Scriptures, and all of a sudden they want to get right with Jesus. By the way, that's okay. Whenever they are ready, let's do it. I want them to get saved no matter what. That man, I don't hold any grudges against that man on the cross, do you? He was about to die. He says, oh, hey, this would be a good time to get right, right? Lord said, I got you, no problem. I don't hold any grudge against him. Some people are not going to get saved until they're scared of dying, until they're scared of eternity without God. Look what it says, verse 23, others save with fear. So there is room in the gospel preaching for love. But there's also room in gospel preaching for hellfire and damnation. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Man, it's because you understand, we get to that point, they're almost there. Almost there. And hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We gain an attitude against sin, an attitude against lust, spotted by the flesh. See, in the gospel, in the ministry, we've got to be mindful of a couple of things. Number one, there's going to be adversity. When you give your life to Jesus, understand at some point somebody's not going to like that. But it's up to each of us to stay on track. Because when I stand before God, now as the pastor, I'm going to have a lot to answer for because of what I communicated. Whether it was right, whether it was wrong, if I led people in the right direction or led them in the wrong direction, I'll answer for that. But you know who's going to answer for you? You. You. So you have got to keep yourself on track. I've got to keep myself on track. And if that means singing to myself in psalms and songs and spiritual hymns, like Paul said, then do it. If we got to go attend a revival to get revived again, then do it. If we got to read the Bible, I probably told you about that time I was in Bible college as a preacher. And I don't remember what happened, but I just remember thinking, this is all wrong. It's all untrue. None of it's real. I don't believe any of it. And then I read my Bible. Isn't that crazy? Started reading my Bible, and you know what? I come right back in line. It's wild. I think of Lee Strobel, I think it was, that was going to disprove the Bible. He is going to disprove God. It's all just a story, a fairy tale. And he got saved, trying to disprove the Bible. You know why? Because the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Cuts to the marrow. It gets right down to the soul. And so there's adversity, but we've got to keep ourselves in line, but we've also got to think about others. There's evangelism in our calling. I don't mean you got to get out here on the street corner and preach to everybody or go to the football games and hand out tracts. I don't mean you have to do that. But there are people around you that you could reach that nobody else here knows. And it's part of our job. It's part of our calling. We've got to be out there. Whether it's by compassion or whether it's with fear, we've got to reach them. It says that Jesus is able to keep you from falling. So when I backslide, it's not on Jesus because he's able to keep me from backsliding. If I backslide, it's on me because he did his part. Let's pray. God, draw us to you now. Help us to reflect on those things which we read, those things which you have spoken to us by your Spirit. Lead us into the purpose that you've called us to. Guide us now in the business of our church and forgive our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, amen.